The story of a well-known Newcastle resident, shared by Jane Pidgeon.
My name is Jane Pidgeon, and I've lived in Newcastle almost exactly 40 years. I'm going to talk to you about Samuel Graham. I have four questions that we need to answer. The first one being, who was this guy? Who was Samuel Graham? The second question is, why did he leave England? The third question was, why would he come to Newcastle? And finally, the fourth question is, when you know that Samuel Graham was a very skilled hand weaver, why were the coverlets that he wove so incredibly popular? And they were incredibly popular. So the first question, who was Samuel Graham? Samuel Graham was born in 1805 near Manchester, England. Now, Manchester at that time was the center of the textile industry. He learned to be a weaver. He became very skilled. We know that he was very skilled because we have examples of his weaving to look at. But in 1823, he was 18 years old, he left. He's a skilled weaver. It's the center of the textile industry. Why would he leave England? Well, there's a very good reason. Before 1820, every bit of yarn that was spun, every bit of cloth that was woven, was done by hand. There were 200,000 weavers in England. But in 1820, the Industrial Revolution, as we call it now, arrived. It was the spinning jennies and the power looms. They were the first machines to use steam power. Well, perhaps this smart young man, Samuel Graham, realized these folks are all going to lose their jobs. And they did. And he left. With his skill, he had to find a place where he could use that, where the machines had not arrived, and that was the United States. So he comes in 1823 to New York. We know that he got to Newcastle by the 1830s. Don't really know what was going on before then, where he was and what he was doing. Probably weaving somewhere. But he shows up here in the 1830s. Now, if he arrives at New York in 1823, 1822 was when Newcastle became Newcastle. That was when the county was formed, 1821, 1822. So we're talking very, very early. When he got here, this was more virgin territory. I suspect that's one reason he ended up in Newcastle. Also, what was happening here in the 1830s, the National Road was being built. This was still a dirt road. Maybe it wasn't even graveled yet. It was still, maybe they had the stumps out. Not always. It was a job to get across Indiana through all that forest. And to get from Newcastle down to the National Road, another, that was a trail almost. That was a wagon trail. That wasn't what we thought of as a road today. Newcastle was probably a town of 200 or 300 people. In 1835, Indianapolis had 3,000 people. The National Road was going to bring more and more people this direction. So he probably figured out, this place is going to grow. This is going to be a good spot to establish my weaving. We know he was here in 1840. He had already purchased land, and his weaving shop was in that two-story, I believe, log building that had been the first courthouse for Henry County. So he set up his weaving shop, and he started doing very well. By 1840, I believe that was the census, he was listed as only one of six weavers in the census of manufacturing census for the state of Indiana. He had two employees. He had two looms at that time. We know he was doing well because he was able to purchase land. And maybe even more telling, he had his portrait painted. And his portrait is now at the Historical Society. Ordinary folks didn't really have their portraits painted. People, you had to have some good station in society, I guess, to want to do that, which he did. And he had, I don't know how much farmland he had purchased, but substantial holdings, apparently. Why would he do that? Well, that was a stable investment. If you had seen what happened back in England, he was aware that that was going to hold value. And maybe even if his weaving business changed, he was going to have farmland. So he was doing very well. He could weave a coverlet in a day. And one finely woven coverlet could sell for $5. If you made $20 a week, you're probably doing pretty well. A really finely woven, a really exceptional coverlet might be worth $10, might cost you $10 to purchase. And they were extremely popular. So 1850, things are starting to change. 1860, things are really starting to change. Dissension about slavery. And as the war became more and more probable, cotton, which he needed for weaving, became harder and harder to get. By that time, he had married a local girl and had four children. So in the 1860s, he and his wife and children packed up and went back to England. Going back to England was not a happy time, apparently, for them. So they returned. And after they returned to Newcastle, they moved to their property by Caddis. I guess he never wove again. But times had changed. The war had made the materials difficult to get. The weavers were weaving blankets for soldiers and cloth for the war effort. And taste changed. So he did not weave again. He died in 1870s, buried in South Mound Cemetery. So perhaps that answers our question of why he came here, why he left England. It doesn't answer of why the popularity of those coverlets. Well, in 1803, Joseph-Marie Jacquard, a Frenchman, invented a system where instead of having to raise groups of threads, like for an overshot design, you could almost raise threads individually to make pictures, to weave flowers. He had birds and flowers in urns and medallions, all wonderful pictorial weavings. Before that, before Jacquard's invention, there were many, many, many weaving patterns, but they were very geometric. And that became extremely popular. We would say today it went viral. It was, everybody wanted one of those. They were the popular wedding gift. For about 36 years, they had extreme popularity in Indiana. Indiana was number 3 behind Pennsylvania and Ohio in the number of coverlet weavers. Samuel Graham was, his coverlets were prized. He was known. He had a reputation of making some really fine ones.